We gon' show you how we party. We gon' show you how we party. We gon' show you how we party.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to episode 63 of All In With Kevin. I'm your host, Kevin Lewis. In today's episode, I'm going to talk about the Jets' Week 5 loss to the Atlanta Falcons across the pond. And I'm going to rant a little bit about baseball rules in general after the ending of the Tampa Bay-Boston Game 3. So, the Jets. All right. So, first of all, can we stop putting the Jets in London so motherfuckers got to wake up early to watch them embarrass themselves across the pond? Let's stop doing that, please. Thank you. But as far as the game itself, first of all, I kind of knew what kind of time everything was going to be on when Matt Ryan got that bullshit roughing the passer call in the first quarter. By the way, they got I know the quarterback is a big part of the product. And I get that you have to protect the quarterback. And I understand that you don't want people just wilding out on the quarterback, taking dirty shots at the quarterback, whatever. So you're trying to nip all of that in the bud. And I understand. I don't necessarily like it, but because of how strictly it's enforced and how randomly it's enforced, quite frankly, sometimes. Because then running quarterbacks kind of don't get the same protection from referees that pocket quarterbacks do, or quarterbacks who are in the pocket at that time do. So I don't necessarily like the enforcement of it, but at some point you gotta let people play football, especially defenders. I know all of the rules are slanted in favor of offense because that's what they think sells and that's what they think gets the ratings. And I mean, I guess they're not wrong. The ratings have never suffered with the NFL. The NFL's king, they're gonna get the ratings. I get it, but Quincy Williams comes on a blitz, well-timed blitz. He comes free. He hits Matt Ryan. He tackles him. Like, he literally tackled him, bro. He tackled the guy. Like, didn't hit him in the head, didn't hit him low. Hit him right in the strike zone. Hit him in the chest. He tackled him. Like, he didn't hit him unnecessarily. He didn't, quote-unquote, drive him into the ground, although that inconsistent bullshit gets on my nerves too. He didn't, quote unquote, drive him into the ground. He hit the guy square in the fucking chest, and they threw a 15-yard flag. That's a 15-yard penalty. A 15-yard penalty flag. I knew what kind of day it was going to be once that happened on the first fucking drive of the game, which then led to a touchdown. But as far as the rest of the game, look, the Jets' offense is just, it's not it right now. Look, Zach Wilson has been bad, and I'm not sitting here to absolve that fact or ignore that fact or make excuses for that fact. He's been bad, and he's been bad in a way where it's just he misses like 5 layup throws a game. And I understand that not all these layup throws are going to make a big difference in the grand scheme of things. I understand some of them are like 5-yard outs. I understand that, and I'm not sitting here trying to say even if he made the layup throws, the Jets' offense would be humming. They probably wouldn't be because the offensive coordinator is just as bad, probably worse. Nah, definitely worse than Zach Wilson is. Now, the thing is, as I said, though, Zach Wilson is missing throws that he should make. Like, his accuracy wasn't an issue in college. By everything you read from people who know more about this than me, his accuracy wasn't an issue in college. So I don't know why that's rearing its ugly head now. I don't know why it's an issue for him now. But it has been an issue, and it's been a consistent issue for 5 weeks. Look, like, if you need Zach to make a throw 40 yards down the field, for the most part, he's going to be accurate on those. If you need a 10-yard square in, good luck. If you need a 10-yard out, good luck. If you need a slant, good luck. Like, that's just how it's been. He's liable to throw the ball in the dirt, throw it behind you, throw it over your head. Like, he's liable to do anything on short to intermediate throws. So, I'm not going to sit here and act like Mike LaFleur is the entire problem, okay? The players are not executing, and it starts with Zach. I get that. I think that people are hard on the offensive coordinator because the quarterback is a rookie. And you kind of, you see Zach play, and you feel like the problems that he's having are fixable, which I think they are too. Like, I think the problems he has are definitely fixable and can be worked on with reps and an off season, an entire off season, and like maybe a coaching guru on the side or whatever. Like, the type of problems he has can be fixed. Mike LaFleur is just, and part of it is we are Jets fans. I am a Jets fan. Okay, so I've seen a ton of bad offense in my life, like a ton of bad offense in my life. Even when the teams were good, like I've seen bad offenses. Bad offenses, mediocre offenses, whatever. Like, the Jets have consistently been behind the curve offensively in my life. They just have been. They've been painfully boring in my life on offense. They've tried to win a lot of games 17-14, 20-17 in my life. They've never really been ahead of the curve. Like, the best offense since I've been an adult was 2015. That was quarterbacked by Ryan Fitzpatrick. So, are we the most patient people? I am very patient. Let me start off with that. I'm very patient in regards to whatever, like real life, sports, whatever. Like, I am more patient than I realize sometimes. Like, I'm very fucking patient. Do I have a lot of patience for Mike LaFleur? No. I'll tell you why. Because a lot of the shit that I have a problem with Mike LaFleur has nothing to do with experience. Like, I don't think it should take some... The Jets don't run screens well. They're going to have to at some point if they're going to move the ball. I understand that. They don't run screens well. Whether it's one guy misses a block and it ruins the play, or a drop on said screen, whatever. They just don't run screens well. Running back-to-back screens and ending up in 3rd and 16, it's just... I don't think you need to be a genius to see that shit. You don't. Like, I don't think you need to be 20 years in the league to see what your team does and doesn't fucking do well. They don't do that well. And you're trailing at this point. Like, the Jets were down 14 at that point, I believe it was. So it's not like, oh, it's the first drive of the game or whatever. You're down by 14 and you're doing that shit. I don't think I should need to tell you that, oh yeah, that's probably not a great idea. You know what I'm saying? Like, yesterday really wasn't about LaFleur like that. Like, I don't think he called a particularly good game, but they didn't play well, so whatever. But it's like, all right, the Jets have scored one touchdown and 13 points total in 5 first halves of games. The second halves come, they trail, they throw, they score. Relatively speaking, like, they score at a decent enough clip for Jets standards, right? But if the Jets suck so bad in the first quarter, which they have, they've been miserable in the first quarter and miserable in the first half, but let's focus on the first quarter. If they suck so bad running what's supposed to be scripted plays that they practice during the week that are based on the film that they study, what does that tell you about the offensive coordinator? And again, the players are culpable too. I understand that. But we kind of knew with a rookie quarterback and an offensive line and weapons, you were gonna have some struggles, and you were gonna have some uneven play, man. But that's just how it goes, because the roster is just not that fucking good. It's not, which is why it's infuriating that they won't play Denzel Mims or trade him. Quite frankly, like, if you think he stinks, move him. Your offense is just not fucking good enough for you to just be, well, you know what? We're gonna sit Denzel Mims on the bench. It's unfounded arrogance from a coaching staff who hasn't deserved it. And this is not to say Denzel Mims is going to fix everything. I'm not saying that. This is not to say Denzel Mims is even good. I don't know if he's good. All I know is that what the Jets' offense isn't is good. They ain't good. The Jets' offense ain't good. So you got a 6'3 dude who runs like that, and you think he can't help you at all? Like, then trade him then. And stop wasting his time and stop wasting our time. Then trade him. I'm serious. Trade the guy. Since he can't fucking help you, trade him. But seriously though, if the Jets suck running the scripted plays that they practice and run in practice, based on what they see on film, then what does that tell you about the offensive coordinator? He's not very good at your job. Like, maybe that changes, maybe. Okay, and I'm willing to say that on the scripted portion of programming, more experience probably would help. This is not running the ball 3 straight times from the 8-yard line on a goal to go. Like, this is not that. This is not running the ball 1st and 2nd down for 4 straight drives after you score a touchdown and punting on all 4. This ain't that. Like, I don't think you need great experience to see that running the ball from the 8-yard line three consecutive times is probably a bad idea. I don't think you need great experience to see that shit. Scripting plays, different scenario. But still, the Jets have scored 13 points total in 5 first halves. Look, if you're going to have the same first half start every single week, that's an indication that's an indication of poor coaching. Am I going to put this on Robert Saleh? I mean, I guess he's part of it, so sure. But I'm looking at LaFleur. And again, I understand the players are part of it. But if the scripted plays stink and your first half offense also stinks, and then the Jets get it a little street ball-y, I guess, so to speak, they get desperate, call it that, and then the offense starts to move the ball, that doesn't speak well on the coordinator. It doesn't. It doesn't. And I don't have a lot of reason to believe or be optimistic that the coordinator is going to get better, because I've seen this movie before. I've seen this movie before, and some of the sequencing and some of just the ideology just doesn't make sense to me. Like, the schemes or whatever. Again, schemes can get better. Like, players can get better. I understand that. But some of the ideology that he puts together just doesn't make any fucking sense. Do I have faith that he's going to get better? No. Can Zach get better enough to the point where it doesn't matter? Sure. Can the offense get better enough to the point where it doesn't matter? Sure. Fine. The offensive players have to do their part. They're not doing their part. But for the most part, they're going to have to make up for and compensate for a bad offensive coordinator, because that's what Mike LaFleur is at this point. He is. And like, I saw multiple tweets during the game, like, "Oh, you guys make it so you sound like you can call." It's like, bro, I'm not, I can opine on this without thinking, yeah, you know, I could do better. Like, I know I can't call plays, bro. Like, if that was the case, we could never critique anything, bro. None of us could call fucking plays, bro. None of us that are watching the games at home can sit there and call plays. None of us can run the ball or catch the ball. So what the fuck would be the point? We can't critique anything then? Like, yes, I know I can't fucking call plays. You know what I know is also not a great idea? Running the ball on 2nd and fucking 11 all the time. That I have a good fucking grasp of that. That's probably not a good idea. You know why? Because all the successful offenses don't do that shit. So fine, yeah, I can't call plays. You know who can? Brandon, whoever the fuck the Chargers offensive coordinator is. I was gonna say the head coach. I don't know who the OC is. Andy Reid could call plays. Sean McVay could call plays. I look at their offenses. They're playing a different sport. And again, I understand the personnel. But miss me with the, oh well, you know, you guys make it sound so easy to call. It's like, no, but I know what stupid looks like. I know what incompetent looks like. I have a fucking PhD in it. I've seen 20 years of incompetent play calling. I know what the fuck it looks like. And that's Mike LaFleur. And again, I understand that he's a rookie. It wasn't going to be easy. That's great. There's nothing I've seen from him so far that makes me feel like, you know what? He's going to be a good OC. Zach? Obviously, the accuracy they need to work on. I don't know what they need to do. I mean, well, we know what they need to do. Fix the fucking accuracy. I don't know the nuts and bolts of it, but that has to change. That's all. Because he can't be missing these fucking... A 10-yard square in should not be a throw where you're holding your breath. It shouldn't be. Like, it flat out should not be. It shouldn't be. So, ultimately, the defense didn't even play that well Sunday, but... They've been left out to dry so much because the offense stinks. It's hard for me to sit there and actually care about their performance like that. They didn't play well. They were bound to not have a good game. They did not have a good game. And even in their not good game, they held the Falcons to a, what, 7 second half points? Granted, they came at the worst possible time. But again, they were trying to keep the offense in the game as they milled through an entire first half where you didn't do shit again. You can't play every game like that, bro. Like, the Jets' offense nor defense is good enough to be digging themselves into fucking holes every week. This ain't 2010. So, I mean, bye week, and then they go to Massachusetts to play the Patriots. I expect another L. That's about it, man. Hopefully they score some points. Hopefully Zach gets better before the year closes, I guess. Hopefully he progresses week to week. I don't expect shit from Mike LaFleur because he hasn't shown me anything that would make me expect anything good. So here we are, just a 1-4. The score wasn't indicative of quite how bad they got their asses whooped. So we move on. All right, so I'll move on from the Jets. I'll talk about slash rant about, really. The Tampa Bay Boston result. First of all, I'd like to let it be known that this portion of the programming is not colored by my bias against either of these teams, because fuck both of them. Like, yes, do I hate the Red Sox more? Yes. If the Red Sox beat pretty much damn near anybody else in Major League Baseball like that, would my analysis be colored with a whole bunch of fuck them? Sure. But there aren't many better people that result could have happened to than the Rays, because I don't like the Rays either. But the ground rule double rule has always been something in baseball that I have a problem with, because it's like, all right, I have Brett Gardner on first, it's two outs. I had a sound double to right center field, right? The entire world knows Brett Gardner is going to fucking score. Everybody knows it. The defenders know it. The fans know it. The umpire, everybody knows it. The ball takes a funky bounce over the wall. That benefits the defense. That's never made any sense to me, bro. That's like we let the umpire's discretion rule everything, whether it makes sense or not. We let them go to the replay monitor, take 30 minutes to get calls wrong. We let them do whatever. We let people like Angel Hernandez and Joe West umpire games in the playoffs of all fucking places. We let stupid shit like that happen all the time. We let umpires' personal discretion run the fucking game for all intents and purposes. But ground rule doubles is where the umpire has no say. I don't understand it. I don't understand, especially in this particular case. All right, so I'll catch you up if you haven't seen it. So it was 4-4. I want to say the top of the 13th. Kevin Kiermaier hits rings a double to right center field. So you know Fenway, they have their quirks. So the right center field wall is short. So he hits the double. The ball bounces off Hunter Renfro, and bounces over the wall. So it's two outs. Yandy Diaz would have scored easily, fucking easily. And at least with the normal ground rule doubles, it's just, okay, the ball takes a bounce over the wall. That's that, right? But the rule makes no sense, and I'll read the rule right now. Rule 5.05 states that when a bounding fair ball is deflected by the fielder into the stands, the batter and all runners shall be entitled to advance two bases. If a fair ball not in flight is deflected by a fielder and then goes out of play, the award is two bases from the time of pitch. So I don't understand. What does the time of pitch have to do with anything? Like, the ball... Why are Hunter Renfro and the Red Sox being rewarded because he misplayed a baseball? Because that's what you're telling me. Like, he misplayed the baseball. Like, he did not mean for the ball to bounce off his chest and over the fucking fence. He did not mean for that shit to... If he did that shit on purpose, he is the greatest scammer on the face of the earth. He didn't mean to do that shit. So why is he being rewarded? The entire world knew that Yandy Diaz was going to score. And again, on normal ground rule doubles, at least just about the bounce. This, like, it bounced off of a fielder out of play. We let umpires use their discretion on everything else. Why not that? And then I read a few pieces after the game, and they're like, well, you know, if you give umpires leeway to place runners based on where they might have ended up, it only complicates the umpires. So what? Everything umpires do is complicated, and they do it poorly. So who gives a fuck? This seems pretty simple and fucking plain to me. It was two outs. The guy was off with the crack of the fucking bat. He would have scored. It seems pretty simple and fucking plain to me. And based on the rule, and I just read it to you, based on the rule, the umpires got it right. So this is not even about them. Like, they did the right thing based on what the rule says they should do. Why there's no leeway for them to employ common sense is fucking beyond me. And I've said this for years about fucking ground rule doubles. Like, they just don't happen enough for me to pitch a whole fit about it all the time. But I don't know why the offense is being penalized because of how the ball bounced. We can employ common sense, I swear to God. We can employ common sense. This one, especially, we can employ common sense. That needs to be tweaked. I'm not saying to change your whole rule. I'm just saying You give umpires leeway on everything else and they get everything fucking wrong. Why would this be where you don't want to give them leeway? Where we all got eyes, we all can see. We all got eyes, we all can see, we all have sense, relatively speaking. We all knew Yandy Diaz was gonna fucking score. This is not, if it's one out, fine. Obviously, shit changes. It's two outs. You can use fucking common sense. That play would have been an RBI triple, and the Rays would have been up 5-4. It's that simple. Again, the rule is the problem, not the umpires that enforced it. The rule is the issue. Like, if you're telling me you don't want to give umpires that leeway because you don't want to complicate, then first of all, take out replay then, because that complicates umpires' existence, and they still get everything fucking wrong anyway. So take that shit out, since we're talking about making it less complicated for umpires. Take that shit out. You know what I'm saying? It really irritates the fuck out of me, because it's just too beneficial to the defense. Generally speaking, like, not even that example. Generally, it's just too beneficial to the defense. Like, I understand that not all ground rule doubles are built the same, but we see a few of them per year where it's like, yeah, that guy would have scored. Oh, that's such a break. What did they do to earn that break? They didn't do shit to earn that break. Ronald Acuña was rounding third, ready to score. The ball bounced over the wall. Why the fuck is the defense getting a break? They didn't earn it. They didn't fucking earn it. And I'm not saying you got to earn everything in baseball, but I'm just saying in this particular case, you did nothing. You did nothing to persuade the ball. You didn't catch the ball. You didn't throw nobody out. The ball took a weird fucking bounce over the fence, and you're going to sit here and say, well, you know what? Based on some antiquated fucking rule, and based on the fact that this is the one place where we don't like umpires actually using their noggins, you know, we're going to send you to third. Even though the whole world knew you were going to fucking score. Unless you lost access to your legs in the middle of third and home. And even then, you still might fucking score by crawling. It just drives me insane. Like, we give umpires the fucking creative license to do whatever the fuck they want. We give umpires the license to call pitches 5 inches off the plate and either in any direction strikes. We give them that leeway. We give them leeway to do fucking everything. But the ground rule double is where the buck stops, and we don't give them leeway to do shit. And this has been going on for 25 fucking years. I don't understand it. I just don't get it. Like, why are you gave up a double to the gap or down the line, whatever. You gave that up. The offense earned that shit. You didn't. The offense didn't deserve to be penalized because of where the ball bounced. And you ain't deserve the benefit based on where the ball bounced as the defense. And last night was particularly egregious because, again, the ball bounced off of the fucking defender out of the fucking park over the fence. Like, how is a misplay benefiting them? And then the umpires got their tongue tied. They can't say shit because they have no discretion to do it. And it's just, why is that the rule where we don't give umpires discretion? Why? You give them discretion to call bad check swings all the time. You give them discretion to call bad balls and strikes all the time. You give them the discretion to be, quite frankly, fucking incompetent all the time. Why is the ground rule double the one place where you're like, you know what, nah, we can't let the umpires decide that? Why? Especially, and it becomes even worse when you consider, as I said before, they don't even happen that often. So why wouldn't you give them? This is not an every game occurrence. At least if it was an every game occurrence, I could understand why you'd be like, all right, you know what? We're not going to put that on the umpire's plate too. I don't know how many ground rule doubles happen per year, and I damn sure don't know how many ground rule doubles go off of defenders out of over defense. But it don't happen enough for it to be a consistent issue. But yet this is where Major League Baseball, you know what? Nah, we can't give them the freedom to do that. It drives me insane, honestly. And I know, I've said it twice, that it doesn't happen enough. But it bad logic and bad common, and not using basic common fucking sense annoys me. It irritates me. And this is just a latest and greatest example in a humongous game and a humongous playoff game. And now the Rays are fighting for their lives. I mean, good on that end. Fuck the Rays. But still. And I'm not saying they would have won if Kevin Kiermaier's hit was allowed to be an RBI hit. I'm not saying they would have won. Okay, I don't know. We'll never know. We're the Kanye West.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
But you can't tell me that, oh, well, because they scored two runs in the bottom of the inning, that doesn't matter. We don't know how that inning goes if the Rays are up 5-4 instead of tied 4-4. We don't know how that inning goes if the Red Sox are down 5-4, how their approach changes, what happens. We don't know. We know context matters in baseball. I mean, context matters in all sports. Context matters in baseball. And different situations might cause different results. We will never fucking know. It is funny that the Red Sox won the game immediately after that, though. that I find that to be funny. It's like, all right, oh, yo, we got the break we needed. We got to put these dudes away. And then, boom, done. Game over. And Matt Vasgersian set it up perfectly on the broadcast. Catchers have hit 7 walk-off home runs and playoff hits, and then the next fucking pitch, Christian Vasquez went deep. So, yeah, man, I don't get with it. I know I've spent probably an unreasonable amount of time ranting about this, but it just bothers me. Like, lack of common sense bothers me, lack of logic bothers me, and it especially bothers me coming from baseball, where they let umpires run roughshod and do whatever the fuck they want, often to the detriment of the viewer and the teams on the field. But yet now here we go, and this is where they draw the line. I don't understand it. I didn't understand it 10 years ago, didn't understand it 20 years ago, don't understand it today, and never will understand it. And that rule needs to be fucking tweaked. It just needs to be tweaked. Umpire discretion needs to be part of it. Because there's no reason why that run shouldn't have scored. None. Zero. None. Oh, that's it for me. Listen to me on the Middle Initial podcast with Andrew O'Case and Drew Jackson as we discuss current sports topics. Listen to the podcast No One Asked For as Kyle Pauly and Jordan discuss current pop culture and sports related topics. And also listen to me on Fly Fantasy with Drew A. Cam as we talk about current fantasy football related topics. That is it for me. Rate, review, and subscribe, and I will see you when I see you. Boy, back in the building, Brooklyn, we back on the map. Me and my beautiful beach in the back of the back. I'm the realest to run it. I just happen to rap. I ain't got a clap.